Welcome to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and I am so glad to have you on this journey with us today. And all week we've been talking about God's economy and this vitally important message that you take the necessary steps to begin living in God's economy, to get free from man's economy and move into God's economy. In the studio with me is Sharon Epps. Sharon, welcome.
It has been an exciting week getting to unpack these truths from God's Word.
Well, if you've missed any of the programs this week, you can listen to them again online at crown.org. But today, I'm going to conclude this week-long series with the teaching from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 through 19. And I hope you'll grab your Bibles and be prepared to follow along. But first, Sharon, many people have not fully understood the opportunity to use our exciting new product called God Provides, and we're getting some great testimonies we need to share with our listeners.
You know, we have seen this tool work in families, in small groups at churches. We're getting reports of people that are using them on the lunch hour in their business environment. So it's a very flexible tool to use in many environments.
Well, it may not be immediately obvious, but if you're leading a small group in any environment and you need a small group curriculum, it's designed for that. In fact, Sharon, it's quite robust with many features besides just the films themselves.
Absolutely. You have the opportunity in your group to watch this rich visual Bible story come to life, and immediately after that, engage conversation on what did you learn? What's God teaching us from this story? And it's a very simple way to facilitate a discussion that leads to real life change.
Well, one of the ahas from a person who's actually using God Provides in their church is that it's one of the few tools that is so flexible that you can use it for all age groups.
I was encouraged to learn recently that someone is using it in their youth program. And as you know, youth and teens enjoy that visual medium, so it draws them in.
Well, and they will start talking about it as well. They not only watch it, because they're used to ingesting a lot of visual media, but they actually are required to engage about it. And you'll see children as young as 5, 6 years old, up through elementary age, junior high, high school, college age, they will begin to talk. And that's exactly what we had hoped for.
And we've actually designed activities called Engage Activities for people of every age group to take these lessons learned and put them into practice.
Well, Sharon, thanks for joining me in this opening segment.
We are looking forward to hearing you teach today, Chuck.
You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
It can be a challenge at times to talk with your spouse about money. Husbands and wives have a harder time discussing finances than just about anything else. God doesn't want money to divide relationships. He wants your marriage and finances to grow stronger. Learn how in Money and Marriage God's Way, a new book from Crown Financial Ministries co-founder Howard Dayton. With unique sections for engaged couples, blended families, empty nesters, and even stay-at-home parents, Money and Marriage God's Way addresses common problems using biblical principles and practical advice. And as a bonus, there's a companion website with tools, including a thorough online assessment to help couples understand their financial personalities in order to work together and solve their money challenges and set financial goals. Get Money and Marriage God's Way at 1-800-722-1976. An audiobook is also available at 1-800-722-1976 and crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're going to talk about how to move out of man's economy and begin living in God's economy. Now, let me emphasize that this is not a one-time experience. A man's economy gets a hold of us all the time. It gets us in its grasp. In fact, it's an epic battle to fight your way out of the grip that man's economy gets on our life. It just grabs a hold of us. There's a power to it, and it's very attractive. The enemy has designed man's economy to be attractive. But the Lord has made His economy far more attractive. And if I had to go to a single passage of Scripture, I would point you to 2 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 through 19, because I believe that Paul succinctly summarizes the difference between man's economy and God's economy, and also the step-by-step process and reasoning of how you move over from man's economy into God's economy. I want to read you the first few lines, and if you have your Bibles, I hope you'll follow along today, because I believe this is the process that Paul is telling us that the Lord wants us to follow, every single one of us. But sometimes when we read this passage, we tend to tune it out because we think it may not deal with us. So let me start. The verse starts with this: command those who are rich in this present world. Okay? Now, when I read that, you may immediately think, okay, he is not talking to me. I am not rich in this present world. He must be talking about somebody on the Forbes 400 list. He must be talking about somebody that has a private plane. He must be talking about somebody that has a country club membership. Or maybe he's talking about somebody who can afford to put all their kids in private school. Well, let me give you a different way to view that. If you want to know who is rich according to God's standards, just take this simple test. Now, I've heard poverty described as people who are standing on the edge of a cliff, and they're living right on the edge. Let's imagine that poverty is walking on the edge of the Grand Canyon. And when you have terrible, life-debilitating poverty, then one slip of the foot, one little gust of wind, will literally blow you over the cliff, and you'll fall into your death and in despair with one little push. Many people suffering terrible poverty, if they have the slightest thing go wrong, if they get sick, if they can't make it into work for one day, if they can't find somebody to help with the children, if they can't get a fire started to cook a meal, then they're going to die. They're living on the edge of their existence. Now, that's true poverty. And there are people like that in the world today. Now, for every step back away from the edge of that cliff, that's how wealthy you are. So, by that standard, how many steps back are you? How many steps away from that condition do you actually live in? Now, for most of us, if you truly answer honestly, how far back from that scenario, the edge of that cliff, you really are, then that's the measure of your true wealth. You're surrounded by people who can help you. You're surrounded by resources. You're surrounded by transportation. You're surrounded by a church that cares. You're surrounded by opportunities to work. So most every single person listening to this program is wealthy according to global standards. And I believe you're wealthy from a biblical perspective, because in God's sovereign plan, you were born into the richest nation in the history of the world. And you live in a time when man has more comfort and more luxury and more resources available to him for their health and well-being than in any other time in history. And in fact, for those of us who are listening who know the Lord, you have not only earthly wealth, but you have the eternal riches of knowing Christ. So you have no fear of death or despair. So in my question to you of how close you are to the edge, you're eternally wealthy. You have the true riches. So when Paul addresses this to those who are rich in this present world, Paul wants all of us who are reading this to take heed. He wants us to understand what he's about to say. Now, here's what's important for you to understand about his introduction to these words. He said, command these people. He didn't say this is a principle. He didn't say this is a proverb. He didn't say it would be a wise choice if you follow this teaching. He said to Timothy, when you encounter people who have much, command them the following things. So I want you to pay close attention, because Paul said this is so vitally important that you should be commanded to obey this. Now, here's step one. He said, command these people not to be arrogant. We sometimes skip right over that. But do you realize there's a very subtle pride that accompanies being wealthy? You and I have a pride when we're around people who have so very little, because we suddenly feel smarter or superior if we have more than someone else. I have a friend who told me that one of the strange things that's happened to him is that because his business has been very successful and he has worldly wealth, people ascribe to him intelligence, as if intelligence came along with the package, that you couldn't have wealth without intelligence. And his point is this: I am not one bit smarter with the money than when I didn't have any. I'm not one bit smarter, but people think I am, because there's a certain arrogance that comes along with being esteemed for having a lot. And I know that from going out of this country and being esteemed by people because I have more than they do. But I'm not necessarily any smarter or any more capable than anybody else by what I have. So the first step in getting out of man's economy is to overcome your arrogance. And I believe Paul is pointing out one of the subtle battles that we have to fight and we have to win. And that's the battle: if God has entrusted you with much, which he has, then the battle is with your own pride. Remember in Deuteronomy 8, the Lord told the Israelites that when you settle down and you have an abundance and you have plenty to eat and you live in fine houses, don't ever say to yourself that my hand or my power has created this wealth. Don't even say it to yourself. That's your attitude. The Lord is getting inside our mind where we privately have this conversation with ourselves and we take pride, boastful pride, in what we have. Because wealth comes from the Lord. 1 Chronicles 29:11 and 12 says that everything in the heavens and earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. Riches and honor come from you alone, that the Lord provides all that we have. So the first step is to overcome our arrogance. Well, Paul goes on to unpack many more steps, many more things in this command that I want to go over with you. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back with more.
It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. Crown Financial Ministries is proud to introduce God Provides, a new film learning experience featuring Golden Globe nominee Dean Jones.
What if God told me to do something I did not understand?
Through epic storytelling, this series of six short films presents timeless illustrations of God's never-failing ability to provide for his people. See the hand of God at work in engaging biblical stories that remain true even today in making life decisions. With each film, you'll receive a companion guide with discussion questions and activities to use with your family or a group. God Provides is available now at crown.org or by calling 1-800-722-1976. To learn more about the films, visit crown.org/God Provides.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're talking about how to get out of man's economy and to live in God's economy. And I'm teaching from 2 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 through 19. Now, Paul started with this: command those who are rich in this present world, that's you and that's me, those who are rich in this present world, not to be arrogant, that's the first step, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God. Now, that's step two. After you get over the fact that because you've been entrusted with much, that there's nothing to take pride in just because you have more than somebody else. The second step, Paul said, is to command people not to put their hope in wealth. So there's two parts to this step. The first part is something not to do: withdraw your hope from wealth. And the second part is to put your hope in God. Now, another word for hope in this verse is your confidence. And another word for confidence is your faith. So let me give you a test. Let's read it again. Do not put your faith in wealth. Put your faith in God. So here's the test. How do you react if you were to lose one of those two things? In other words, how do you react if you were to lose all of your wealth? Versus, how would you react if you were to lose your relationship with God? Which one of them would be a bigger issue with you? You see what Paul's trying to get to? The first step in truly moving out of man's economy is an issue of your own heart. Now, Paul doesn't talk about how much money you have. He doesn't talk about whether you're on a budget or not. He doesn't talk about whether you're employed or unemployed or have debt or no debt. He's saying the very first step is to analyze, have you put your hope? Have you put your confidence? Have you put your trust? Have you put your very faith in wealth? And the litmus test is, how are you going to respond if you were to lose it all? Now, here's step three. He says, put your hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. What he's saying is, put your hope in the Lord, because the Lord is your provider. And in fact, he unpacks that. He not only says he's our provider, he says he richly provides. And that's why it's so deceptive to believe that we've created wealth on our own, because wealth comes from God. He says, understand that God richly provides us with everything, and it's for our enjoyment, that he's Lord over all of our lives. The first step in understanding how to live in God's economy is to recognize he is Lord, that all things come from God, and that God is good, and God is generous, and that the things that he gives us are not just for our basic needs, they're for our enjoyment. God is kind to us, and he's a great God to serve. So that's the beginning point, is a change of heart to be spiritually renewed. Here's step four. Step four of living in God's economy is to understand stewardship. And Paul unpacks that with a simple explanation of what do you do with what God has given you. He establishes first that he is Lord, and we're to withdraw our hope from wealth. He says, secondly, to command these people that God has given much to do good, to be rich in good deeds. In other words, he's saying, what do you do with what God has provided? Well, you do good, and you do good deeds, and your riches are not derived from your balance sheet of how much you've accumulated. It's whether or not you're rich in good deeds, using the money that God has given you to do good for others. He's saying to be outward focused. It reminds me of my attitude about the Cash for Clunkers program when the Lord really spoke to me. I said when I considered turning in one of my clunkers that it was a great deal from man's economy. I was going to get $4,500 credit. But I realized that I might be depriving somebody else that I could help with that clunker in God's economy. And as it turned out, God gave me the opportunity to give one of those clunkers away. In fact, the opportunity was so compelling to my wife and I that we actually fixed up one of those clunkers. And we made it a gift to a single mother. And we felt rich in good deeds by giving it away. Certainly, I was tempted with the Cash for Clunker programs, and don't feel guilty if you turned your car in for a different vehicle. But in God's economy, our richness does not come from external things. Our richness comes with doing good for God and his kingdom with what we've been given. And Paul said to Timothy to command us to do those things. Now, here's step five. Once you've understood God's lordship, and secondly, that you're to be a steward of all he's given you, and true riches come from being rich in good deeds, he said to be generous and willing to share. The final step is generosity. Now look at the progression here. He said, first of all, those of you who are rich in this present world, don't be arrogant, because that's all so uncertain. Secondly, he used the word rich when he said God richly provides, and then he used it again when he said you're to be rich in good deeds. Don't measure your wealth by your balance sheet. If you're far off that line where you're not on the edge of survival and you have anything you can help others with, live in such a way that you're generous, that you're always willing to share, and that you're known for having a lifestyle of being one who shares and doesn't hoard, that you give freely because you're free of the fear that the world has, because the world is afraid they're going to lose what they have. And if you're living in God's economy, you're not afraid of letting go of anything because the world isn't your provider. And so Paul succinctly summarizes God's economy, that first he is Lord, Second, you're a steward. And third, you're to live generously. Well, we're going to talk more about that when we come back. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and we'll be right back.
Handling money God's way can be filled with challenges, and many questions can come up along the way. Wouldn't you like to have someone you can turn to when you're not sure what to do next? Well, you do. A Money Map coach from Crown Financial Ministries. Money Map coaches work one-on-one with you to develop a spending plan, get out of debt, and practically apply other biblical principles of stewardship to your everyday finances. Your coach will be with you each step of the way to help you make healthy, long-term improvements in your finances. Money Map coaching is available in person in many areas and everywhere online. Either way, you'll get personal attention that's confidential and free. To find out what's offered in your area or to become a Money Map coach yourself, call 1-800-722-1976 or visit crown.org. Get connected with a Crown Money Map coach today. Call 1-800-722-1976 or go to crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're finishing our series on living in God's economy. And I hope through this week you have caught the essence of what it means to move your heart and your finances into God's economy. You know, it's a process. It's a process of having your heart spiritually renewed, to be transformed, according to Romans 12, 1 and 2, by the renewing of your mind so that you're no longer conformed to this world. And there's something tragically wrong that if you believe in the Lord God Almighty and you manage your finances exactly like your next door neighbor who may not know the Lord at all, that's a terrible paradox, because it should not be. That of all ways that we're peculiar to this world and that we're strangers and aliens, it should begin with what we believe about money and how we manage it differently than the rest of the world does. And so when you're spiritually transformed, you're in a position now to be financially transformed. And Paul said in these very short verses that when you've been financially transformed, that you live in a posture and with a lifestyle that you're continually prepared to be generous and willing to share whatever you have, because that reflects the Lord's glory. That reflects His generosity, His kindness to the rest of the world. And we're His ambassadors of generosity on this earth. But it doesn't end there, because Paul went on to tell Timothy that there's something else that he should remind us of. And he said, remind them that in this way, in other words, living in God's economy, in this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Now think about that. Paul is saying that the Lord actually rewards you for living according to His economy, and that He actually puts you on a firm foundation. And what are the two things that we fear most in this life? We fear the loss of the rewards and benefits of having money. And we also fear that we're going to constantly be on a shaky foundation that could erode and be destroyed or collapse. Well, Paul is saying that if you follow the principles of living in God's economy, those two things are assured. But they're not assured simply on this earth that's temporal, but they're assured in the age that is to come, the one that lasts for eternity. That's where you lay up for yourself a firm foundation. And so of all people, we should be able to see through the deception that man's economy is the best economy. And we should see into eternity and realize that the Lord Himself wants us to live in such a way that our firm foundation is in the age to come. Well, I hope you've been encouraged. You've been listening to Money Life. Be sure and pick up a copy of God Provides and use it in your ministry. You can find it at crown.org. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be back again next time.